How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 82 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there, and you can leave a review once you're on that page also. Find us on audioboom.com too. You can log on to normantranscript.com and check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. Real easy for you to find. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. This is obviously the last show. The last show of the week, off for the weekend, back on Monday after that. The Thunder play the Clippers Friday night, though. Big game for the Thunder. They're coming off that 112-102 loss to the Toronto Raptors. It's a tough couple of games for them at home. Sunday is the Serge Ibaka game, so that's gonna be a fun one. But we're really just gonna talk about Clippers today. The Thunder beat the Clippers 85-83 in Los Angeles last week. Clippers right now have the best record in the league. That loss was their only loss of the year. I'm gonna have my guests on, Andrew Hahn from ESPN and DJ Foster, host of Lockdown Clippers, in a moment. It's a fun little reunion of a blog that we used to run. But before we go on, I just want to take a quick second to talk about SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for basketball games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's been by far the easiest way to find and shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you can always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek is always going to get you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck also. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. And you'll immediately see underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Enter the promo code LOTHUNDER, and SeatGeek is going to send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LOTHUNDER today. A quick break, and let's get to Andrew and DJ.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Interrupting cow. Interrupting cow. Moo is me.
So that's Andrew Hahn, who actually won't let me introduce him. We've been trying to do an intro for 14 minutes, and he won't let me do it. So that's Andrew Hahn. He's from ESPN. There's also DJ Foster somewhere over there. He's the host of Lockdown Clippers. DJ, what's up?
Yo, hey, Andrew, no, it's not your turn to talk. Oh, this is going to be a disaster.
So for people who might be wondering why the three of us are doing a podcast, at different points in time, each of us actually ran clipperblog.com. And we used to have a video podcast after Clipper games called Clipper Blog Live. So this is our little reunion show. Should we all pour one out for Jovan right now?
No, he's fine.
I just want to be on record that I don't like Jovan. So,
yeah, you want to expand upon that?
It's nothing. It's just general undiagnosed, unexplained distaste for him.
He's too handsome.
I don't.
He looks like way Miles, too handsome. He's Myers Leonard.
Yes.
I don't care. I don't care for Jovan and his, you know, his type.
What does that mean?
It's like, you know, humans. Just not a fan.
Oh, yeah. This podcast is going to be so bad. I'm going to have to record like a solo podcast after this, toss this one in the trash.
Throw it away.
There's a lot of good stuff going on in here. It's stay with us because it's going to get hot and heavy.
All right. So let's just give some information before we go completely off the rails. The Thunder play the Clippers tonight. That's in Oklahoma City. Game time 7 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Pacific. They played last week, about, 9 days ago, when the Thunder beat the Clippers in Los Angeles, 85-83. Clipper offense was really bogged down. They've been on fire lately. Thunder just lost to the Raptors. Andrew, you're at Clipper Games aplenty. Their defense is ranked number one right now, like, by far, by, like, 6 points per 100 possessions. And last year, they were fifth in defense. But why have they been, like, so much better this year, and why have they been so dominant on the defensive end?
Wait, can I interrupt?
Yes.
That's not how time zones work.
Damn it. What?
What do you mean?
That's not how time zones work.
What are you talking about?
It's not 9 p.m. Central
Time. 5 p.m.
New Yorker. New Yorker parading as an Oklahomian.
Oh, busted. Man, 5 p.m. Wow, that's not how time zones work.
That is
not that's just like a unbelievable misunderstanding of even how time zones work and where I am right now.
When you wrote Central Time in the email to set up this podcast, I definitely Googled it because that's just not a thing that I'm used to.
Yeah, people are on Central Time. Mountain Time is definitely the most random.
Yeah, come
Mountain
on.
Mountain Time is the fake time. That is just like...
You can't have four times.
Get with it. Either be Central Time or Pacific Time. Don't make this other third time zone.
For sure. Like, yeah. Denver can be Pacific Time. That's fine.
Yeah. It's okay.
Everyone would be okay with that.
Anyone that has weed legalized should be on Pacific Time now.
There you go. So, like, Arkansas is on Pacific Time now.
Does Arkansas have legal weed now?
They just legalized medical, I think.
Oh, well, that doesn't count.
I'm just going to throw this out there that the nation of China is, you know, geographically about the same size as the United States, and that whole country is on one time zone. I'm just saying. One time zone. One America, one time zone.
This is something I can get behind.
That's your new policy. One America, one time zone.
Yeah. No daylight savings, no multiple time zones. Let's just all get up at the same time.
It's unbelievable that I could ask you a question about the Clippers defense and you can answer by talking about time zones in China.
You know why we got on this tangent?
I blame myself.
I blame myself for messing up the time zones.
The level of DJ subversiveness knows no bounds. He knew you asked about the defense and I was going to lead.
I want you to answer with Luke Richard.
Yeah, I was going to go straight into like 15 minutes of
shut that down.
I know you're talking about Luke Bamute.
DJ just, he knew it was coming and he's like, well, let's talk about time zones instead.
But Andrew, I know you're going to gush about Bamute and I agree with you. He's been really, really good and he was really good last year though.
Fred, so, don't do that. What are you doing?
No, he's a really good defensive player. I mean, look, I think that him starting in the postseason is something that could potentially hurt them because you don't have to guard him. But he is like they jumped up in defense last year when he went into the starting lineup.
Yes, I believe if you take out the, I think there was about 18 games where Luke was not the entrenched starter at small forward. If you take those games out, the Clippers finished third in defensive efficiency last season behind the Warriors and Spurs, I want to say.
Why do you know this?
I just was keeping casual track.
It's so uncomfortable.
So if you think about it for a second, let me just say that the Clippers being far and away the number one defensive team is not a huge surprise if you consider the fact that they had a relatively poor second unit last year and Blake was hurt most of the season. They had a new starter in their lineup that hasn't played with that four-man core before. And they still finished third in defensive efficiency. So they have a full year under their belt. They make a small number of tweaks to their defensive scheme this year. Another year under their belt because they changed their defense last offseason, and it's not a surprise that they'd be number one in defense.
So how do you the Clippers traditionally, they, you know, or at least the last, you know, year plus now, they drop back and pick and rolls, they zone it up with DJ. They changed that last year when they kind of switched up. They're a lot less aggressive in pick and rolls.
Correct.
How, if Westbrook is hitting his mid range, he can feast on that. Now sometimes he's hitting it, sometimes he's not. He didn't in that first game against them. Do you think that's the ideal way to guard him?
Yes, I believe. Was that addressed to me or DJ?
Who cares?
That was to you.
Okay, it'll go to me. I'll start, and then DJ will hand it off. Like, I'll telegraph the baton. Russell Westbrook is like a star. And I don't mean a star in the NBA. I mean like a gaseous, hot star in space. And he has a tendency to go supernova and just grow in size exponentially and get incredibly hot and bright. And when a star goes supernova, you just have to let it run its course, because eventually it'll burn out and turn into a dwarf star, or collapse on itself and turn into a black hole. And that's kind of what you want Russell Westbrook to do. If he's going to hit mid-range shots, he's going to hit contested three-pointers, things of that nature, you just have to take your medicine and live with it. Because the thing that you don't want to turn Westbrook into is the hub of their entire offense, being able to facilitate the shots of his teammates, having a defense overcompensate because he's playing so well, creating cutting lanes and clear open shots for the rest of the Thunder players. Because that starts an offense that, to me, seems like has been incredibly reliant on Westbrook being able to do all of that stuff for everyone else. DJ, do you feel any differently?
I mean, the analogy was beautiful, and part of me wants to agree with it just because it was so pretty, and like I'm just picturing stars like exploding in the sky now, and I'm crying a little bit on the inside. But no, I actually disagree. I think, I forget which team did it earlier this year. Fred, you can probably help me out, but I like the idea of just kind of sending a double at him, like, right away.
Well, Toronto was doing that on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I would kind of take that plan. Now, here's the thing. The Clippers are defending so well that I don't expect them to do it, and I wouldn't do it this game. But I think, in general, in the future, if these two teams match up for a playoff series somehow, I think that's a viable strategy, just because I'm comfortable with saying, Andrew Roberson, if you knock down wide open threes, God bless you, son. Good luck with that. But I don't think that the Clippers will do that. Look, there's no reason to change up your strategy all that much when you've been such a dominant defense so far, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I don't think you, if you're the Clippers, like throughout the regular season, you play the same schemes. You don't change things up for one game and get yourself out of your habits and that kind of stuff. Especially for like an offense that's ranked bottom six or bottom seven in the league right now. Like, you don't do that for, maybe you do it if you're playing Golden State or something and you had, you know, Steph and Durant and Clay force you to adjust things. But like, you don't do that for an offense that's ranked in the bottom 10. You trust your stuff.
And you don't want to tip your hand too much, even if you do think that's a viable strategy. There's no real point of doing it, you know, game eight of the regular season. Like, save it for a potential playoff series.
Well, there's one big difference that the Clippers have changed this year as well. The past 3 or 4 years, both of you guys are very familiar with the Clippers and Chris Paul's penchant for calling out the other guards in terms of defense. He always prided himself on saying that he guards his opponent on a nightly basis.
Right.
And Luke Bamute has gotten the call to cover the most threatening offensive player so far this season. I believe he had the majority of the assignment to guard Westbrook in that Clippers Thunder game, the first one that they played together. So there's not really a need to send a double if you're going to put a much bigger, rangier defender on Westbrook, unless Westbrook goes berserk and starts doing crazy things. At which point, you know, does sending a double really give that much of an advantage?
Let me ask you this, Andrew. Do you think that Chris Paul's hot start offensively, probably the best start offensively of his career, is it a coincidence that it's happening when he's getting these lesser defensive assignments that he never got before? Do you think it's connected?
Probably. I hadn't really thought about it until you mentioned it right now. Seems like that's a good argument. So yeah, I suppose that would be true. It's tough for me to really given that serious consideration because the Clippers offense had been sputtering for 4 or 5 games so far this season, and it's really come alive in the last 2 or 3.
But he's been great.
He's been solid the entire time. So really, I was thinking about his offense in the context of, wow, Clippers would really be struggling to win these games if
Paul
hadn't been hitting those shots. But I guess, yeah, it does make sense that he's able to preserve himself a little bit more because he doesn't have to take the toughest assignment all 35, 40 minutes that he's been playing. And I guess the other thing on top of that is because the bench has been so good, not only is Chris Paul not having to exert himself to his maximum abilities on defense, he also hasn't had to play that many minutes so far this season. I think the starters are all in the low 30s, and then some. I think Redick might be in the high 20s so far.
Yeah, Redick's at 25 right now.
Yeah.
Watch this, Fred. Speaking of preserving your star point guard, you like that?
Wow.
I know.
That's pretty good.
Thanks.
Go on.
That's all I had. No. You don't know my style. It's a very Californian. I just kind of drone off and don't finish sentences and just hope that someone else starts talking.
So your segue is like half of a segue.
Yeah, it's like a half-ass segue.
Yeah. All right, so speaking of preserving your point guards, Russell Westbrook's usage is historic right now.
Oh, well, beautiful.
Thanks, DJ.
Yeah.
He's actually not playing a ton of minutes because he sat a couple of fourth quarters in blowouts earlier this week, so his minutes average is pretty decent. I forget what it is off the top of my head, but it's like in the low 30s. So that's okay, but he's dribbling a lot, and he's getting hit a lot, and he's driving to the lane a lot, and he's shooting a lot, and he's passing a lot. And, you know, maybe him and James Harden, I think it's safe to say, have like the largest offensive burdens of any two players in the entire league in terms of just how much of their team's offense goes through those two guys. You know, if you look at usage, if you look at assist rate, like those two guys are really high up in both of them.
If only they played on the same team.
That's my listeners are not going to like you.
Is that not okay?
I think that's still like that's an open wound.
Okay, sorry about that.
Is it a hot take for me to say that I still think that they would not coexist on the same team?
No.
They couldn't coexist?
No, it's not.
Okay.
They for sure wouldn't, right?
No, it's not a hot take.
Yeah, I can't imagine those two being what they are now, what they've become and grown into, coexisting at all.
I mean, they might have the least complementary styles of any stars in the league, any star tandem in the league.
Right. They both need the basketball to be at their best, but it's even deeper than that.
Right. They both want the basketball to be at their best.
Right.
I was telling someone today that I feel like Houston and Oklahoma City are like bizarro versions of each other, where Oklahoma City has one guy that has to create everything, and they have this like staunch defense behind them. And then for Houston, they have one guy that does all the offense, and they have like a staunch offense behind them.
Right.
Yep. Hey, their offense is real good. Their defense is quite poor. I mean, the Thunder defense has been really good. They've been really good. Roberson, as DJ called him, Andrew Roberson.
I did not.
Yeah, you said Andrew Roberson.
Did I really?
Yeah,
I wasn't going to correct you, but then I remembered that you corrected me on the time zone thing. So
what's his first name? Antonio?
Andre.
Adam?
He
Adrian Roberson, my favorite player.
So Alexander Roberson has been awesome. He's really having an incredible defensive season, and he's so good off the ball now. Man, like he's a killer off the ball, and Adams is really good too, and Oladipo's a good on ball guy. I think they're going to finish as a top 10 defense. I've been saying since the preseason, I think they're going to be a top 10 defense, but it's kind of a weird, it's a weirdly constructed team. Like Andrew was saying just now, because the offense, it all goes through one guy, and the defense is like, they're going to win when they win games. Like they beat the Clippers and it looked like an ugly, poor performance from both sides. But I feel like those are the games that the Thunder are going to win this year. Like the ones that you look at them, yeah, like they don't have a similar playing style to like the Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, Memphis Grizzlies. But when the Memphis Grizzlies, when a game would turn really ugly, you'd be like, okay, that's the game they want to play in. And I feel like the Thunder have that kind of similar trait.
I would agree, and maybe it's overlooking it kind of, but the way that Westbrook can just like snatch the momentum of a close game and just like have this crazy, insane and one basket, and he's screaming and yelling, and that home crowd eats it up. Like no one gives more frequent, like huge momentum swings than Russell Westbrook in my mind.
Here's a better recent team comparison, I think. You just have to go a little bit further away from Memphis and think about the old Memphis East team in the Vogel, Hibbert, Lance Stephenson era Pacers. And Paul George had to carry a lot of the burden in terms of the offense there. And they had this really aggressive defense that used a lot of their length as leverage to try and win games. And they won a lot of ugly games, and then had basically Paul George isolation shot creations to steal games away at the end. And that's kind of what the formula is for Oklahoma City, at least from my estimations.
Yeah, I think that's actually kind of a good one. Like Oladipo is kind of your Lance Stephenson. He comes out, he plays with the bench unit. Like that works. I'm into that. I don't know if like the Thunder are a 56 win team like that Pacers was it. Team was at its peak, but yeah, that makes sense. And Andrew, where do you see them finishing right now? Because they're 6-2. I know we had like a brief discussion about this when I was in LA, and we talked about how like we both kind of picked them to finish in the mid 40s. I think you said, correct me if I'm wrong, but has anything? We didn't really talk about them after the Clippers game, and they're 6-2 right now, and they played some softer games, but they had a good win over the Clippers. And you know, they got crushed by Golden State on the second night of a back-to-back on the road, so I just kind of write that one off. Lost to Toronto at home on Wednesday. Didn't play particularly well, but blew out Miami, blew out Minnesota. Have you seen anything to make you change your mind so far?
I have not. I think that they have a very solid defense, but that offense is just so... You wonder how they're ever going to score enough points unless literally Westbrook averages a triple-double for the season. And it just doesn't seem like a sustainable model. I think I said that I had them pegged for like 45 wins and they'd be fighting for the 6-8 seeds. To me, Golden State, the Clippers, San Antonio, Utah, those teams are squarely ahead of them. And they're in that pack with Houston, Memphis,
Portland,
you know, that group.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I've got them in there too. I think it's that Toronto game was interesting because, like, I think something, I mean, we talked earlier about the best way to guard Westbrook and whether you should double, whether you should just kind of, you know, zone up pick and rolls and just kind of let him feast on mid range, or even if he gets ahead of steam, just go to the hoop. Toronto was playing him aggressively, and they did a good job at that. And kind of what Westbrook ends up doing sometimes when the Thunder get down, and they were up early, but what he ends up doing sometimes when they get down, because Toronto just, they went on a run, scored 42 in the second quarter, is he starts trying to take the games over by himself. And if you're giving him enticing, inefficient shots, it almost seems like sometimes you can bait him into those shots. And so I'm kind of more of the mentality of the way that the Clippers are going to guard him, especially because early, like the Thunder scored 39 in the first quarter against Miami, and Westbrook only took one shot. Like he was still facilitating everything, but he only took one shot. They're kind of weird now. Like, they move the ball well sometimes for short stretches, and then they get away from it. I don't know if they're this, if they're quite this bad on offense. I think they're bottom half of the league offense. I don't know if they're like a 25th ranked offense, but it's going to be interesting to see like the progression of their ball and their player movement, because it looks like there are certain stretches, like 3-4 minute stretches throughout a game, and you're like, oh wow, they're moving it great, and then they just kind of get away from it. Maybe they get down and Russ starts to take over and starts taking pull up threes or whatever it is, and that kind of happened against Toronto. And I wonder how that kind of trend is going to work against the Clippers.
I like LaVerne. I like Sabonis. I feel like their offense runs a little more smoothly when those fellows are in there instead of Cantor. But before the season started, I was curious to see if Oladipo could be that secondary shot creator that Oklahoma City needed. I mean, a lot of people were looking at that season when Durant was hurt as to try and get a gauge for what the Thunder would look like this year. And they had no secondary ball handler, secondary shot creator on that squad. And I feel like the hope was that Oladipo could be that guy for this team. Fred, is there any evidence that suggests that he could or couldn't so far?
He's been really passive. He has not been quite as much of a creator as I think your average person hoped that he would. I don't think that means that he won't be down the line. Like, my opinion on him in the long term hasn't changed, because in Orlando, he was always a little deferential. Like, he has this mentality of being a driver, and he's definitely the best with the ball in his hands. There's no question about that. And he has this reputation of being like a driver, and he is the best when he's driving, because he's really athletic and he's really explosive and he can finish well around the rim and he can get to the rim when he wants to. He doesn't actually drive that much. Like, he averaged 4.9 drives per game last year, which was like really low considering the minutes he was at. Like, for Thunder fans listening to this, to put that in perspective, Dion Waiters averaged the same amount of drives in like 10 or 12 fewer minutes per game. So like, this is... He doesn't actually drive that much, and we're kind of seeing him now defer to Westbrook even more, because like in Orlando, he would, you know, they said he didn't work with Elfrid Payton and that kind of stuff, and it's because sometimes he'd defer to Payton. They couldn't figure out a rhythm with the two of them together, and now he's kind of deferring to Westbrook. I think some of it is just because he doesn't want to come in and step on anybody's toes. He's like he's a really nice guy. And I think he just doesn't want to step on anyone's toes. And I think as he gets more comfortable, that kind of stuff will change. And I do think that kind of mentality can change in certain people. Like, they can add aggression. But it's not necessarily a shock to me that he's not just relentlessly going to the hoop like some people thought he would. Because, like, I wrote about this before the season started. He's never really done that. Even if he's really good at it, when he does do it, he's never been someone who always does it.
He's kind of a late starter, too. I mean, all throughout his career so far, the second half of seasons is when he really starts to turn it on.
That's true.
So I think we could see that again with him in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, he's really talented.
Yeah,
like, he is. I don't think anyone is going to argue that he's not talented. And I actually think his defense has been better. I mean, maybe I'd have to talk to somebody who like watched every game with him in Orlando. But at least from what I saw from him in Orlando, and after they traded for him specifically, I watched a bunch of his games there, and he was just gambling left and right, and you know, trying to jump every passing lane possible, and you know, wasn't really getting around screens well. And I think specifically off the ball, like, his defense has been a lot better this year, which is a really nice progression. I wonder, I've never asked him this, maybe I will. I wonder how much of that has to do with the fact that, like, he was playing with Nick Vucevic in Orlando, so he felt like he had to do it all on his own defensively. And now he's got Adams and Robertson and, like, really good stay-at-home defenders behind him, and he doesn't feel like he has to make those sorts of plays. Like, I feel like that could be something that factors into his mentality too, you know?
Hey, you guys want to play a game?
Sure.
Sure, let's play a game.
So I just made this up right now.
Oh, good.
I'm going to call it Build It, Trade It, Break It.
I like it.
Obviously, the goal of any NBA team is to have a roster that's a title contender. And so with the Oklahoma City, Are they close enough where they just need to keep building? Are, do they need to make a big trade or a medium-sized trade to get there? Or are they at a point where they should be considering breaking it down and starting clean?
Ooh, it's a good question.
Is this one for me or is DJ jumping on?
Yeah, Fred, I'll try him in after you, Fred.
I'm going to say build it. Look, they just signed Oladipo and Adams to extensions. They've got Westbrook for another year. Part of they're not one trade away from being a championship contender. I think they should continue to build on this roster. And if there's another deal that opens them up, which would be beneficial for the future, I say jump on it. If it's trading young pieces so you can get Rudy Gay, who then becomes a free agent next year, that's not something I would do because you're mortgaging your future. I would say build it. I think Steven Adams is, anything less than a max for him I thought was a steal for the Thunder. I was fine with the Oladipo extension. I think with rookie extensions, you're betting on futures. You're not betting on past production. You're betting on projected production. And I understand how and why an organization would bet that he would be worth $20 million a year in this economic environment and in a year or two or three. Like I completely understand that. So I totally understood that contract from the Thunder's perspective. And so you have the core already. So I don't know if there's that much to actually like break down. So I say you build on those guys. You hopefully find a way to where you can, turn Jeremy Grant into something more than just kind of, a raw talent who has good physical tools, but is still trying to figure out how to make it work. Maybe Kanter is a guy who would go just because of his fit with Adams, but I'm with build it.
So you think Westbrook, Oladipo, and Adams, that's the core of this team. You're building around that.
Yeah, I think you can build around that. I think something else you have to consider, it's not an on-court reason, but it's something. Like, you're in Oklahoma City. It's harder to break down and win 20 games every year when you're in Oklahoma City than it is when you're in a really big market that's going to support you economically no matter what. It's hard to do. I know people talk about like, oh, you can't tank in New York, but like economically you can tank in New York. Some markets like you don't want to see it. Like we see Memphis continually build on, try this core trying to keep their brand and at least a capable team together. And I don't know if there's anything necessarily wrong with that. And I think it's possible. I don't know for certain, but I don't think anybody does because it's hard to get a real measure on the Oklahoma City market considering how the team has trended since it's come here. Like it's either been new or a title contender every single year. So we don't really know. But I understand how that could come into a thought process too. And you have to try to keep Westbrook every way you can, of course.
DJ?
Here's what I would do. I would go with the Lincoln Park strategy. You're building it up to break it back down. You guys like that?
I don't know. You're going to have to keep talking before I decide.
Lincoln Park lyrics?
What's the? I don't understand this reference.
You're building it up to break it back down. To burn it down.
Oh, my God. That song? Yeah, I know that song.
I do not know this song.
To the ground. No, I think they're going to build the core up and kind of hope they can get some of these young guys to become viable trade assets. And then when it becomes time, they're going to have more pieces to be able to deal. And there it's going to be draft pick, draft pick, draft pick, load up. Because right now, if you tried to break it down, there's not enough. There's not enough to fully restock the cupboard, I think. But if you get some of these guys, the Sabonises of the world, to become viable trade pieces, you're in a better position to break it down in 2 years than you are right now.
Sabonis too. Like they,
that's what I think the plan is.
Like Andrew, you talk about a core of Westbrook, Adams, Oladipo. Like they think Sabonis is going to be part of that core.
Sabonis is really good.
Sabonis is good. He's going to be good.
Yeah.
He's going to be a legit starter, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a good sign that the defense has played this well with a rookie on the back line, a new shooting guard, no real continuity. It's a good sign for the coaching staff, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, he's doing a really good job where we weren't sure last year because he was thrown into it how good Billy Donovan is going to be. But this is a good start if you're a Thunder fan, I feel.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. And I think that's a good point you make with them being playing legitimately very good defense with Sabonis as a rookie on the back line getting.
Yeah, rookie big guys, it's a recipe for disaster. Like we saw with Philadelphia, not that Sabonis is Jahlil Okafor, but we kind of saw what happened when the Sixers had to play Jahlil Okafor a lot. Like an otherwise somewhat solid defense turned to just complete mush whenever he was on the court.
Yeah, or even like look at the Pacers with Miles Turner. Like yeah. Miles Turner has been pretty good on defense this year, but like Miles Turner, great defensive potential. He could be an all-star. Like he's so good on both sides of the floor. But Miles Turner as a rookie had his struggles as a defender because you have to adjust to the speed of the game and you have to adjust to learning the players and you're playing on the most important part of the floor defensively. You have to learn how to help. You know, you have to learn how to rotate.
Gonzaga would play a lot of zone too.
Yeah, that's true. But Sabonis gets it look, he's not like an all defense guy or anything, but he gets it as a rookie, which is like, it's rare to see a rookie who he still has a lot of things he can improve on, of course, but he mentally understands where he's supposed to be defensively. He knows how to rotate. He knows how to close out. Like he's for a rookie, he's really ahead in that stuff for sure.
He's going to be a good player. Fred, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
If a playoff series started today between the Clippers and the Warriors, a 7-game series,
then we'd all be really confused.
Who do you think wins?
Between the Clippers and the Warriors?
Yeah.
Today.
A 7-game series starts today, right now.
Do you guys know Brett Dawson?
Nope.
Brett Dawson is the Thunder beat writer for the Oklahoman.
Yes. Oh, Brett. Yeah.
I looked at Brett in the media room. When was it? Like 5 days ago. And I said to him, I don't know how bold this is, but the Clippers are going to have the best record in the NBA this year.
That's pretty hot. You could have made a lot of us a lot of money if you would have dropped that hot take a little earlier.
I know, but I didn't quite develop it until I like saw them play. And I was like, oh crap, they're going to be a top five offense and defense. That's a really good recipe for being really good. It's hot because the Warriors are amazing. I mean, I'll take the Warriors. Who has home court in the series?
Starting right now, Clippers have home court.
So Warriors in six.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say seven, but I know Andrew would call me out about picking the Warriors to win a game seven on the road. So I'm saying Warriors, and I'd say Warriors.
Wait, Andrew, do you feel the same way? Because I think the Clippers would smash them right now. Like, oh, not yeah, even.
I feel like Fred did not key in on that on the phrase that you said. It starts today.
It starts today.
Like the Warriors are incredible, and they're playing very good basketball. But I think today the Clippers are the better team. So the Clippers would probably win. I guess the one wrinkle you have to throw in there is that the Warriors loathe the Clippers so much. And so as mediocre for them as they are playing, they'll really kick it into another gear when they see the Clippers. So that's what you have to caution against. But today the Clippers are the better team. I don't think anyone would find that to be an aggressive take. I think we all say that with the understanding that the Warriors, we're expecting the Warriors to be just incredible at some point.
Right.
But in the here and now, the Clippers are the better team.
So here's a stat for you guys. You want to hear my stat of the game for Friday night? No one responded. I'm going to take that as a yes. I'm going to take it as a yes. You're dying to hear it. Thunder starters net rating. Net rating is how many points per 100 possessions you're outscoring your opponent by. Thunder starters net rating is 1 point per 100 possessions. Clippers starters net rating. You guys know what it is?
I don't.
Can we guess?
Yeah, let's guess.
DJ, what's your guess?
Jeez, I've had a lot of blowouts. I'm going to go with it's something really high, like 17.5, plus 17.5.
Andrew?
That's right. that's very close to the territory that I was thinking of. I'm gonna
whole team, the starters.
Yeah.
The starters.
Yeah. I'm gonna prices right you.
No, come on. Don't do
you guys,
that.
You guys, I mean, Andrew wins, but you guys were horribly off. 27.1.
Wow.
That is insane.
27? I'm coming on down, Fred Barker.
Wow.
Am I playing?
Isn't that that is crazy. You guys went 17, which is a crazy number to outscore somebody by that much.
Yeah, the Clippers, right.
The Clippers team net rating right now is like 16.5 or something.
Because they smashed two teams by basically 40 two nights in a row.
Yeah, exactly. But they have the best net rating in the league. Atlanta is second. This was going into Thursday night's games. They had the best net rating in the league by about 6 points per 100 possessions, which is a ridiculous difference.
Is this going to be a blowout? Are we sensing another Clippers blowout?
Clippers are really good. They're really good. I think the Thunder are good. The Thunder, they can defend Chris Paul well.
Yeah.
For sure. They have a few guys who can defend Paul well, I think. They can defend the DeAndre Jordan pick and roll really well, I think, also, because Steven Adams is just incredibly good on defense. My issue, which I thought was going to be the issue in the game in LA, and it wasn't, I was surprised. Blake didn't play well. I don't know. LaVerne played some really good post defense on Blake Griffin, but I thought Blake would come out and kind of, because Sabonis is Blake's just a lot stronger than Sabonis is right now, which is like to be expected. Sabonis is 20, and I kind of thought Blake was just going to muscle him. And I realized sometimes Blake just isn't good at muscling guys. That's kind of his biggest. I think he's amazing and underappreciated. But his biggest flaw might be just that, like, when he gets up against a guy who's smaller than him, whether it be, like, a primary defender who's smaller or, like, a point guard switches onto him, like, he's not great at taking advantage of that size always. He likes to play with more finesse, I think, than he does with physicality. It's just his mindset. It's his style, too. And I think he doesn't always take advantage of that. But, like, I could see Blake kind of going off in this one.
I could see it, too. I do think, and maybe I'm like traveling down narrative road a little bit too much, but this is the one blemish on their record so far. I feel like this is a potential revenge game. The way that they've been just like aggressively putting teams out of games early, I could see this turning ugly pretty quick. The spread, though, and I always kind of look for Vegas.
Wait. This is, yes, what? I was going to get to the same point. Let's play the spread game.
Yeah, okay.
So many games.
I just want
a lot of games. This is like a Clipper blog live reunion. Andrew's got a bunch of games that we didn't know.
We have no compliment sandwich though. No, we haven't had a compliment sandwich yet.
Can I bring out like my box set of 1991 basketball cards and play that?
Yes,
that was my favorite.
Should we guess draft classes after this?
They're so fun.
Have you looked at the spread already?
I have. I already cheated.
Okay.
I haven't.
Let's do this.
Just play with Fred.
Where do you think the spread opened for tomorrow's Clippers Oklahoma City Thunder game? I should preface that neither Fred Katz, DJ Foster, the Locked On Network, or ESPN advocates sports betting.
Oh, that's not true. That's one of our sponsors was sports betting.
Oh. Well, I certainly don't advocate sports betting. Actually, I don't even know if ESPN does or doesn't, but I don't.
We're apparently cool with that here.
Despite the fact that I'd love to talk about it.
Yeah, and we put lines in our newspaper all the time. So the also, Norman transcript is fine with betting as well.
Yeah, no one, and also no one believes you, Andrew. Yeah. But
you know what? A lot of people do not believe that I don't like sports betting and I don't do it because I talk about it so much and I'm so interested in it, but that's the truth. I just don't like to do it.
Yeah.
But where do you think the line opened?
I'm going to guess the Thunder were +6.
And where do you think it closed?
Thunder +8.
DJ, do you know this stuff already?
No, I don't. I don't know where it opened, but I don't want to guess. Just give us the goods.
So it opened Thunder +1.5.
Wow.
I was off.
And it's currently Thunder plus 5.
So it's moving quickly.
That's a big move. And the and it's gone from 202, the total points, to 204.
So is that a big move? I don't know.
That's not a huge move, but the spread moving that much is crazy.
Yeah, 3.5 points. It's a lot of moving.
Yeah, no, the spread, that's big. That is very large. So, Andrew, what do you make of that?
I think it's going to be a blowout. Is what I think. The Clippers barely lost in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And their offense was terrible, and they had tweaked stuff in the offseason for their offense this year. They hadn't quite figured it out, and clearly they figured it out in the past 3 or 4 games. I think they are going to blow out the Thunder.
If the Thunder win, make sure you tweet Andrew the Han. That's Andrew the Han.
Yeah, I don't mind being wrong. I tweeted, I think, 2 nights ago that the Clippers are my pick to go to the NBA Finals for the West this year. So, hey, you can tell me that I'm wrong. It's fine.
We are feeling ourselves a little too much, I think, Andrew. There's going to be something terrible that happens in Clipper Nation now. There's too much confidence.
I mean, I can very easily see them not making it. But, you know, I think predictions are fun. You don't take it too seriously. And, you know, don't be a jerk to people when they're wrong, is what I say.
It's words to live by.
All right, I think that's a good way to wrap it up. But DJ, you wanna tell the people about Locked On Clippers?
One country, one time zone. Andrew Han running it. Yeah, I guess I can talk about Locked On Clippers. It's a show about the Clippers, and it's like Fred's show, slightly worse quality, but under the same umbrella. So yeah, Locked On Clippers. Subscribe and rate, please.
Andrew has a Clippers podcast.
Called
so aptly the Clippers podcast.
I don't want to talk about it.
It's really good for Google purposes.
I'll plug it. He does it with Jordan Heimer.
Our guy.
It's at ESPN. Jordan Heimer, another former Clipper blogger.
And Dan Wojcie of the Southern California News Group.
Dan does it with you?
Dan does it with us.
Friend of the show.
He didn't do it last week. Because there was some kind, I don't remember what the reason was. And Zach Harper.
That's an all-star crew.
My solution to quality is just more quantity. is there a different thing that I should plug?
I don't know. I don't know what you're doing in your life.
I don't really know what I'm doing with my life either. Oh, no, you said in my life. Yes.
Who does?
There's the True Hoop podcast. I did the Chicago Bulls True Hoop podcast, and look for more team-specific pods in the future.
You sound so excited about that. Please calm down. Like, you can't handle that energy right now. And you can remember I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. I know Andrew's going to interrupt me right now. You can head on to iTunes.
That's a lot of days for, I mean, both you and DJ. It's so many days.
Yeah, it's a lot of days.
It's 5 days.
Even if I was just like your Twitter manager and had to tweet that kind of volume out, it'd be exhausting.
Well, not as exhausting as talking to you in this podcast.
Listeners should really they should commend you for the amount of work you guys are putting in, because it's so much work.
My listeners can also head on to iTunes and they can subscribe to Locked On Thunder and Locked On Clippers there. And the Clippers podcast, I say. You guys are on iTunes, right?
Well, are we? I have no idea.
I'm sure you're on iTunes.
I don't know how to do any of that stuff.
You're at the worldwide leader. You're on iTunes.
As both of you guys can attest, because we had done Clipper Blog Live for a long time, these kinds of things take a lot of work. And if you like the stuff that Fred Katz does, if you like the stuff that DJ Foster does, you should regularly send them thank yous and praise, because it's an incredible amount of work to make it seem like they're not doing any work.
It's weird when he's nice to us.
It is. I feel like he's being sarcastic.
Yeah, I don't understand what's happening right now. I'm very conflicted.
He's doing that evil Han like smirk that he does. It's happening.
I feel like I'm getting reverse psychology here, and I don't like it.
I know. Questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter, at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. DJ is Foster DJ.
Nope, at Fox Sports Foster.
Oh, right. You used to be Foster DJ, right?
I'm a company man that hangs out with an ESPN person exclusively.
Andrew is Andrew the Han.
The is not my middle name. I just want to make sure everyone is aware of this.
Good to know. You can log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs and check out Thunder Road. That's my blog there under the sports tab on the site. That is going to do it for today. Off for the weekend. Thank you to Andrew. Thank you to DJ. For now, Locked On Thunder. Oh my God. You know what? Goodbye.
The new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.